Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking today with Mr. Dale Carver, a CHS welding instructor. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Great. Appreciate you coming out and chatting with us. So, talked to lots of different people. I've talked to directors of schools, talked to some of the people that work over nutrition and TCAT and all over the place. And so I love talking education. So, Straight out of the gate, I'll have you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about how you ended up teaching welding at Cookeville High School.
Okay. Again, I'm Dale Carver, a CHS welding teacher. I was in manufacturing for 24 years. Just saw that this position was open, and I had desire and passion to train welding and teach welding, and I thought, you know what, we'll give it a try, and I'm going into my third year this year.
Third year, and you made that jump.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll have to tell me what got you into that transition. So we have a teacher shortage. So I teach in the College of Ed. I'm always trying to grab teachers. I'm always looking for that person who's in industry, in the banking, in whatever, wherever they are. And they wake up one day and they're like, I really think that I want to make the jump and be a teacher.
Right.
How did you get there?
So how I got there is I had been doing weld inspection for my last 7-8 years. And I saw the need for people needing to develop their welding skills and manufacturing skills and those type things. And I started thinking like along that lines that I wanted to teach that. But high school teaching was not in my path or thinking at that time. And I saw this position come open, and it just led me to believe that was open for me, and that was my desire and passion, and it's really blossomed, and I enjoy it every day teaching these young men and women and getting them ready for a welding position or manufacturing, whatever they desire.
Mm-hmm. And there's a good career that could be made with welding.
Yeah. Yes, most definitely. I would say you could you can start out in the $50,000-$60,000 range if you wanted to, but if you want to travel, you can make six figures easily.
Mm.
If you're not married and you're single and want to try that life, I think that would be something good to go for.
Mm-hmm. And you know, also to me, think about some of the more advanced. I was talking with my son. He's an engineering major. We were talking about some of the, like underwater welding, really crazy stuff that just kind of blows my mind that there are people that do that, go down and weld underwater, at the base of a bridge or some of those really advanced.
Yeah. And that I do not have experience in underwater welding, but I have every year had a student or two ask me about it. And I'm like, look, let's learn the fundamentals of welding.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go underwater welding, you'll have to get some more certifications and training for that. And, go for it.
Yeah. That to me, that's just like a wild, advanced path out there that probably pays really well, but I imagine is extremely dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
If I had to guess.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So getting back into education yourself. So one of my questions that I always ask everyone is, who was your favorite teacher growing up?
So, my shop teacher is one that I remember back in middle school. His name was Mr. Downey, and I remember him just being an influence to me because he really prided himself in teaching you shop and the tools and what to make and build. And I remember him and just the race cars we built with CO2 cartridges and raced them in the shop and then built lamps and, things like that. So he's one that really touched me. There's many other teachers I could say, but he's one that I really remember and really affects me to this day as a teacher myself.
Mm-hmm. And was that here? Was that local?
No,
where was that?
I'm from Lebanon.
Okay.
So he was my middle school at Walter J. Baird.
Okay.
In Wilson County. So
yeah, and it's funny that was middle school.
Mm-hmm.
because now, it's probably not as typical to have a shop class. I mean, typically it's high school level that you have that.
Yeah.
that shop class, or at least, exactly. You know, it used to be called shop class. It's not anymore. I mean, it is so much more advanced and specific versus, you know, what we had many years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there were not many classes offered like mm-hmm. they are now. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many CTE classes and construction and welding and automotive, everything, you know. So shop was one of them that we did have, and I was more than willing to take it because I enjoyed that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hands on, and it was in your school,
right? Exactly.
One of the issues that I had being in a rural county, we only had one vocational school where we could take those type of classes, only one in the county, and so you had to ride a bus and either leave school for half a day or all day. And so it wasn't like I could go down. I would have loved to have learned some of those hands-on skills that I've had to teach myself now, you know, as an adult. I would have loved to have had some of those in school, but the opportunities now, there's so many opportunities.
Oh, yes.
just right there, you know, in the school.
That's exactly right. And we need the students to realize that we need them. Like, this industry needs them. In so many ways, it's the older generation is getting at that age, they're retiring or ready to step away from it because they're just tired. but we need these young students to take these classes and learn them and get their certifications, and they can get a lot of help in that at the high school level these days.
Mm-hmm. A great jump start, or, you know, towards the completion of some kind of post-secondary,
right.
Either certificate or community college or VOTEC, or, exactly. You know, even on to tech. I know that there's some people who will do the welding and learn some of those pieces and then maybe go into mechanical engineering at tech. To me, it's such a great springboard along the way. And especially to encourage some kind of post-secondary. To me, I think that sometimes people get caught up on, well, it should be this path or this path. Mm-hmm. To me, all students should do something post-secondary.
Right. It
should be either VOTEC or community college or a university. Mm-hmm. Any of those are great. I mean, they're great pathways and great career-building steps if you do one.
Right.
Do something.
That's right. And, you know, and I share my life experiences with my students. So I was that high school kid that come out of high school, did not go to college or tech school right off, went into manufacturing for a couple years, saw that I needed something. So at that time, 24 years ago, well, about 26 years ago now, it was go to college. That's what you do. So I went to college, done that. That didn't really propel me to anything, and I got into welding and in the manufacturing. We were welding pipelines and stuff, and I got my certification in welding and visual inspection through American Welding Society, and that really propelled my career there, and done that for nearly 10 years in the welding side of things before I went to Coatesville High School.
Yeah, and I imagine it opened doors.
It did. It opened a lot more doors for me and where I was at in the industry at that moment in time.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that's hard. It's hard to explain that to a 17-year-old. I mean, it would be hard. Yeah. It was hard to explain that to me as a 17-year-old.
Same
you
here.
Know, you can jump through these few extra hoops and do these few extra things, and it will just open, you know, so many more doors than if you don't have those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. And you know, with our program, we are dual enrollment. So you are, if you spend the 4 years in welding in high school, you get credit towards a TCAT certification. You can go finish that out there after you leave high school. So I always recommend that you just finish it out, dig in, and keep going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. 'Cause, you know, even to me, that's a skill set that you learn and you can take with you. It's not like somebody can take it away from you.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Even if you don't use it immediately, you know, you're going to learn that skill set and you're going to have it. You know, you can follow through with a career. It can build into something else.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I just think it's great that there are so many opportunities for the students at the high schools.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I actually didn't even know what all was available in these schools these days until I started teaching, and I'm just blown away that the amount of things they're offered, and they shouldn't let those opportunities go away. They need to take them.
Especially you start looking across between the like the manufacturing. I know that Mr. Powell has been doing the manufacturing and robotics 3D printing stuff for for a while, and there are also things, you know, even when you branch out, I think it's great that students find their niche, you know, and find something that is interesting to them, but they can also build that career on, and you know, so when you can follow through with the nursing, the healthcare side, or you can get into the, you know, building the house. I know that's a big deal with the construction, working on engines. You know, there's so many things available. It's always good to see the students latch on to something.
And I tell you something too, something that excites me, because when I was in manufacturing, we had to work with engineers. We had to work with different auditors and all different things. Our programs intertwine. Like I use engineering to create drawings for us to weld. We weld stuff for automotive maintenance, helps us with things. All these programs, we intertwine and work together, and we use students from the programs to help each other out. So,
And that's real world. I think that's real world. I think there are very few people who get to take a skill and go in a corner by themselves and do that all day long having to work with other people in other areas.
Yeah.
So, well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk. I want to talk a little bit more about your classroom.
Okay.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, today talking with Mr. Dale Carver, CHS welding instructor. So you get a lot of hands-on time when it comes to welding. Do you ever find yourself just wanting to, like, take that from the student and say, just give it here and let me show you? I'm sure it takes a lot of patience with hands-on.
It does take a lot of patience. And one thing I have learned, and you know, different people learn different ways. And I try to pick up on that, like what I need to do with this student versus this student to help them learn where they're at. I have learned that just taking over and doing things does not always teach the student what they need to learn. So what I try to do is I talk them through it. Like, this is what you're doing, or this is what's going on, so let's try it this way. And, you know, sometimes we have success right away, or like I say, we have the light bulb moment. It takes a day or two, 3 days, who knows what, and then that light bulb hits and they got it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I call the light bulb moment, and sometimes it takes that. But, yes, so I have students come in that have never touched a welder at all, and then I have students come in that they welded on their farm or in their dad's shop or wherever. And so I have a wide spectrum of what I'm teaching and the crowd I'm teaching.
So where do you start? Where do you start with that? So is day one freshman year? You know, I'm a freshman and I've never touched welding, you know, any kind of machines. I don't know the difference between a TIG welder and a plasma, you know, plasma welding, plasma cutters. How do you start with that?
So freshman year, if that's when you start freshman year, your first, no matter if it, maybe you're a senior and it's your first time to take the class. And I had that this past year. So you come in, you take safety. You need to know about safety. We don't want nobody electrocuted or burned or anything like that, arc flashes, anything like that. So we go through a very strong safety course. We take OSHA 10, which you can get a certification once you complete. That's your first certification in our class. And then you pass a safety test. So your first year, it takes a couple months to get through all that. So, and you know, they start to get a little impatient. They're like, I get to see this welding shop. We can't even go out. We got to get through. We got to know what we're doing. And, you know, we got cutters and saws and everything. We learn safety and everything. So once that couple months is up, we get through all that. We go out in the shop. And then we start out with SMAW stick welding. and we just teach them the basics of that, teach them how to cut little pieces of metal, how to grind, and just let them start working on that. We also, in that couple months, I forgot to say this, in that couple months time frame, we have virtual welders that I let them use, and it starts to let me see how they're holding the rod angle. It tells them on the program they're going too fast, too slow, wrong rod angle. So that helps a little bit too for when we go out in the shop.
Okay. Are those like Oculus headsets, or how do those virtual ones work?
It's on a laptop. It's plugged in.
Okay.
And it has the actual stick rod. It has a MIG gun, everything.
Okay.
You set the program, and then you just watch it on the screen.
Okay. And do they seem – I imagine most kids pick that up pretty quickly because it's technology.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see them making the transition from the virtual to the real? Do they do okay with that?
Yeah, they do okay. Once you get out in the shop and you're actually striking an arc and you're mm-hmm. learning that, you know, if you got moisture in a rod, it's a little tougher, your ground's not hooked up right or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. So, but I do see benefits in the virtual welders.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows them to start getting the feel of it before they go do the real thing.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, because it could be, I know, again, going back to my 17-year-old self, I was very impatient. You know, I would have been the same way. I've been like, let's jump in. Let's do it. Just give me the stick. And let's jump in. But it makes sense to learn all of the safety in the background. You know, that part I think is very necessary.
Yes.
I imagine you wouldn't want to bring knock the power out for the whole school running 220 volts through something that didn't need it.
right. Exactly.
Run through
it. So, and you know, even something as simple as putting your welding helmet on, they don't mm-hmm. think about that mm-hmm. if they have no experience. They mm-hmm. they go out there and we teach them how to turn the welder on in the classroom and what to do. They go out there and do it. And if we're not paying attention, you know, if we haven't went through that safety protocol, they'd be out there welding without a helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need that. We don't need somebody burning their eyes up out there.
Correct.
Or even something as simple as putting your jacket or sleeves on so they don't get burns on their arms and all that. So mm-hmm. the safety is a big factor, and I'm big on safety and go through a pretty rigorous safety course so that we are safe in the shop.
So during that intro year, about how far through the year is it, if it's a year long, how far along through the year is it before they're physically attempting to weld and work on things?
It takes about 7-8 weeks, and then they're in the shop.
Okay.
And they're welding. So, and what I encourage, you know, get through your OSHA 10, get through your tests and all that, and not just sit here and not get done,
mm-hmm.
You get out in the shop a little faster, and I'll get you on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to encourage some to get on through OSHA 10 a little bit. And I know that can get lengthy. It's mm-hmm. a 10-hour course at mm-hmm. school, and
mm-hmm.
but they do really good with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very high success rate on getting your OSHA 10 card. I'm thinking there's only been like two or three that didn't get it that I remember the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of them, they just had other things going on, had dropped the class, or they went online or something like that. So.
Right. Now, if you have a student who does have some experience, let's say they've worked on their farm, they've welded a plow, or they've welded something off, you know, on an old tractor, do they still come into that intro class, or do they go up a level?
No, they still go into the intro class. We still have to put them through the safety, and I understand they have welding experience and stuff. And most time the kids will let me know that, students, and I appreciate that, but it still don't give you the free pass to go on out in the shop and not take the safety course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I need to know that they're operating things safely, and especially when I got 25 students in the shop welding at one time. I only have two eyes, so I'm trying to keep my eyes on a lot of different moving parts, and I don't want nobody hurt.
Right. Yeah, so. that's a big spot.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of kids doing all that at once.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot to keep an eye on. And that was one of my questions was classroom management. How do you keep an eye and keep everybody safe and on task?
Yeah. So it is tough. It's not going to lie. But for the most part, I try to keep everybody on track in the classroom, and we're all in the classroom at once. Everybody gets done. We go to the shop together and try not to have that big split where there's half in the classroom, half in the shop. I try to keep everybody aligned. There will be that occasion where there's some that get behind or they've been out or whatever, and they have to get their classroom work caught up before they can finish their go out in the shop and do anything out there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they stay on track. They come in, they enjoy the class, they want to be there in that class, so they want to get the work done and get out in the shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's good. That's good to hear because it is something that, you know, obviously could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. But that's all part of learning something that's that hands-on interactive. So, well, let's take a short break and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of the welding techniques and things.
Okay.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking education with Mr. Dale Carver, a CHS welding instructor. So we were just talking through some of the different things with welding that have always been interesting to me. Classroom management, for example, keeping 20 people on track when there's 220 volts running through every single station. So one of the things that you had just mentioned off air, you're talking about videos. Tell me a little bit more about that. Tell me how you're developing those. And because again, I think about it being so hands-on. Yeah. That the videos would be helpful, but it's not even something that had really occurred to me.
Right. So a lot of the students talk about videos. They're watching, you know, they're trying to develop their skills, and I appreciate them spending time on their own looking for stuff to help them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times they come to me and they're like, hey, I found this video and I'm struggling with it, or I want to do this or whatever. And then we talk about it and I'm like, look, these are edited videos online, and this person's got a lot of experience, but I'll help you in what I can. Or there's sometimes I'm like, look, we're not to that point. We're not there yet. So over the summer, I had a revelation at the end of last year that I need to create some videos that are real. And so I created all these videos this summer and brought a former student in. He helped me out, and I appreciate his help. And we made all these videos, and anything we had go wrong is in that video for my students, so that the students see, like, sticking a rod or a blow-through or, your wire on the MIG gun mm-hmm. didn't arc off. Why? Well, the ground was unhooked. So we had things like that happen just in trying to make good videos. And it happens in the welding world. Mm-hmm. So I want these students to see that, and I think that'll really benefit them to see some of these troubles that even we had in making videos and how to correct them and how to fix them, what to look for. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about showing these videos this year mm-hmm. and going forward.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times, and I know with the little bit of welding that I've done at my farm, you know, you see this product on the back end and you're just like, oh, that's great. I'm going to do that. But you don't get you don't realize the skill set and the hours and the mistakes that go into it. You just see that product. You just see that cool thing that somebody's welded and you're like, oh, I'm going to do that. And then it doesn't take you long to figure out what kind of products do you all typically finish with when we start getting a little more advanced? I mean, I know on the early end you're just doing basics, but I know eventually you're probably creating some things.
Right. So by the time they get to year three is where I would like them to be. They're really starting to do groove welds. They're putting the root filling caps and groove welds on plate, pipe. We're doing projects. I mean, we've welded on everything from a plow to sculptures and everything. We matter of fact, we went this year with a sculpture to Skills USA to our competition. And
okay.
I haven't brought that up. And we do compete in Skills USA. We have a small team every year that does that. And
is that local, or do you travel for that?
So it is a little bit of travel. Usually we travel to Hartsville for regionals, and then past couple years, Chattanooga for state.
Okay.
And then if you make it to the nationals, which we did not this year, it is in Atlanta, Georgia. So the students do enjoy that. We did make it to state with all our groups in welding this year. So I was excited about that. Not only that, the other students get to see those skill sets from those students competing, but I also have students that don't want to go to those competitions, but I don't want to limit them from learning stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Learning groove welds, learning pipe welding, structural welding. I teach them how to look at their welds, or, you know, is it too high? Is it too beneath the base metal? Do we have undercut? You know, all the visual things that you need to see and learn, and I teach that and show them along the way. And by year three, they're starting to see it. You know, they're like, hey, I want you to come look at this, but I already know I got undercut. I already know. And that excites me because I know they're learning that, and they're learning what's wrong and what's happening.
Yeah. So. Have you had students who have access outside of school who come back and bring something into school and say, look what I've done on my own?
Oh, yeah.
They've built something?
Oh, yeah. I won't say several. A few of my students have shops that their parents have or access to a welding shop, and they will weld and exactly show you pictures, or if they can bring it in, they'll bring it in.
Mm-hmm. So, and show. I think I remember at the Putnam County at the PEP lunch.
Oh, yeah.
I believe you all had some things that you had made from the welding class.
We did, yes.
That were there as part of the part of the auction.
Right. And we do stuff like that. We'll donate things for charity causes. We do fundraisers for our own program. We'll have one this fall for our school, as for the CTE programs in general. And we'll start, as soon as I get back to school, I'll have some students jump on some things. What do you want to make?
Yeah.
But I usually have them make stuff they want to make, like, because I know they'll work hard on it, make it look good, you know, make sure they build it right, things like that. Because that's one thing that I tell them the importance is getting things level, getting things ground good, you know, make it look square and all that. And building little things like that for fundraisers and all that goes a long way in learning those skill sets.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're proud. You know, they're proud of the stuff that they make when other people appreciate it.
Oh yes,
And I know that I do, because just what little bit I've tinkered with, I understand the how much of a skill it is to be able to do it well and to make it look good. Like I can weld something, but it's not going to look good when I'm finished. But you know, it might be okay. So I know the hours and the time that goes into that. Now, do you get into any advanced, more advanced welding, where it's like aluminum, for example, or some of those materials that I know are more advanced to weld with?
So around year three again is when most students that I have will start TIG welding, and I let them start TIG welding on basic TIG welding carbon steel.
Okay.
And then if you're showing really good ability and developmental skills on that, then I do have aluminum there, and I'll show them how to weld aluminum. And I've actually got a couple students right now that does amazing aluminum welding. And they were year three.
Okay.
And so they're going to be in year four this next year, so I'm excited to see what all they do with that.
What they can do next
year. Oh, yeah. And they got really good skill sets, and they're – most likely, one of them went with me this year for skills. He's already told me his desire for next year as well. So he'll go back to skills as well. So I'm hoping the other one will too.
Yeah. And so that's basically like if you play football, it's like going to the state playoffs.
That's right.
Through the district, the regional, and the state. So that's exciting. And I knew that you all did that in some of the areas, but I didn't realize personally that there was a competition for welding.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And we go and we do the best we can and show off what skill set we got.
Yeah.
So
now, do you make connections with any of the local industries, or do you have students who come back and talk to your students about welding, or are there any connections after they leave?
Yes. I do have some students that I've been encouraging to come back and talk, especially the ones that I had a couple that finished TCAT this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one that I want to bring back. I've already talked to him. And tell the experience of his 4 years in high school, what his TCAT experience was like, and really talk to – I would probably bring them in for my three and four, mm-hmm. welding three and four students, because they're closer to graduating and making that next step. And really just discuss the positives of finishing out your program and what that certification means to him.
Mm-hmm.
He just finished, so he's looking for a job right now, but it won't be hard for him to find one.
Mm-hmm.
He's really developed really well, and he'll do good. But last year we had somebody come in from a welding manufacturing plant, talk to the students. We do field trips to different manufacturing plants. We have not been in a pipe manufacturing plant yet. That's what I'd like to do next. A lot of them have desire to do pipelines.
Okay.
And that's the industry I come from. So,
okay. Is there one locally, or how far do you have to go to?
The one I worked at was in Lebanon, and about an hour away. So,
okay.
But you got to be able to find these plants that will let groups of students go through and
do tours.
And do tours. So that's really our hardest thing that we got to get hurdle to mm-hmm. get over. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah.
And are there career fairs? I mean, I know that we hear, you know, that there's a huge demand mm-hmm. for people with that skill set, but are there career fairs that they can go to, or is it?
There are the occasional career fairs. You just have to look for the ones that are looking for manufacturing or welding. Mm-hmm. And if I see any, I always tell the students, hey, mm-hmm. they're, you know, those that are seniors looking mm-hmm. for a welding job, here's a career fair. Or if I hear of jobs, I'm like, hey, this company's looking for a good welder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd really encourage you to go apply, you know.
I'd say they don't have any problems finding a job.
No, once they don't.
Yeah, yeah. Once they graduate with that skill set and that demand. And I imagine even some of the local, like ATC and some of the local plants are probably pretty quick to hire.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Well, that's the end of our time, but I appreciate you coming out today, talking a little bit about welding and what you do at CHS.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.